There's still money in them thar gas pumps. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The corporate titan that is Walmart wants to get bigger in one more space, gasoline. For years, it has outsourced most of those filling station and the store parking lots. But going forward, Walmart will build and operate the new gas stations itself to get a bigger piece of that action. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins me now with more on one piece of the fossil fuel market that is not crying the blues right now. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, David.
So gas stations still make money?
Well, Walmart has got to try something. Profits are falling at their stores, and so how do you bring people in? Well, Costco, its competitor, is already betting that adding more gas pumps will lure drivers into the convenience store or maybe even the big store. So come for the gas, stay for the Snapple, or maybe 64 Snapples. And to be sure, the mini-mart stuff has higher profit margins. Think cigarettes, think chips. You're just not too price-sensitive a shopper in those situations. And keep this in mind, David. The company Walmart had outsourced this gas station work to, makes $13 billion in sales every year.
But why now? I mean, gas is going for $1.77 in places. An economist said on this program the other day, $1 a gallon gas.
Here's the non-intuitive thing. Selling gas is a pretty good business right now, and if oil keeps falling that way, it could stay good. If you own a gas station, the wholesale price you pay has fallen the same way crude oil has fallen, right? But your retail selling price has not fallen as steeply, so your profit margin is bigger. Here's a couple numbers. Crude oil in the last year has fallen about 30%. Gasoline has fallen by just 15%. So it plays out something like this. If a driver comes into your station and fills his minivan with, say, 20 gallons, you make around $4.40, and the average margin historically is about a buck less than that. So there's an old saying here, gas prices, they rise like a rocket, and they fall like a feather.
Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you. Meanwhile, Royal Dutch Shell said today its profits fell 80% last year, $19 billion a year ago, less than $4 billion last year. Will the oil producers cartel OPEC ever move to restrict supply and drive up prices? There are reports today that hard-hit Venezuela is agitating for an emergency OPEC meeting. That said, European Union analysts are expecting cheap oil, $35 a barrel, for the rest of the year. The DeVry Education Group reports profits today. The parent company of DeVry University, one of the country's biggest for-profit colleges, is getting hit on many sides, from declining revenue and legal trouble. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Enrollments at for-profit colleges have been falling lately, according to Stephen Bird with New America, a public policy institute.
More students went to the schools during the recession, and now that the recession is over, a lot of those students are going back in the workforce.
And Bird says the for-profits have also been hit by state and federal investigations into their job placement rates.
In part, that's because the government doesn't have a single standard that they use to say what a job placement rate is.
Last week, the Federal Trade Commission filed a lawsuit against DeVry. It said the school falsely claimed 90% of job-seeking graduates land work in their fields within 6 months of graduation. Trace Erden, a Credit Suisse analyst, thinks the for-profit sector is getting singled out.
The administration has effectively declared war on this industry.
Erden thinks the suit could cost DeVry anywhere from $250 million to $1 billion, but he says DeVry has good financial resources and likely won't go the way of Corinthian Colleges, which declared bankruptcy last year after a series of legal challenges. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
These are the days in Hollywood where awards shows dominate the business of entertainment. But broadcast networks are beginning to place bets on next year's television hits by choosing the scripts they'll turn into pilots. As Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, the networks are competing at a time when pilot season has never been so competitive and costly.
It's betting time for broadcast networks. They've spent millions on scripts. Now they're picking the ones they'll make into pilots. The first step in creating what they hope will be the next empire.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Deborah Birnbaum is the executive editor of television at Variety.
It's incredibly competitive.
She says at last count, there were more than 412 scripted shows on air. And broadcast networks aren't just competing with cable.
Now they've got streaming services like Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix in the game.
All that competition means the networks have to change how they do business. Ryan Lee is the head of the Television Literary Department at Creative Artists Agency, one of the largest entertainment agencies.
They are trying to perhaps chase a viewer who has been watching more cable or streaming.
They're ordering shorter series, making more event television, like live musicals, and trying to produce edgier content, which isn't so easy.
The networks are beholden to ad dollars and shareholders in a way, and viewers certainly that some of the cable and streaming services are not quite beholden to.
Some of the pilots they've ordered are edgy-ish, time travel, imaginary friends, but there's also a lot of what we've come to expect. A retired cop struggling with his family, a woman trying to figure out what it means to be good in the world, more doctors, lawyers, superheroes. It costs millions to turn a script into a pilot, and only a handful will be made into series next fall. And however well the networks choose, success just isn't what it used to be. Neil Baer is a producer and writer who's worked on ER, Law & Order SVU, and Under the Dome.
When I did ER beginning in 1994, there were four major networks, and it was the only game in town. And in year two, I did an episode that garnered 48 million viewers. We'll never see that again, ever.
Empire pulled in an audience less than half that size for its second season premiere, and the numbers made headlines. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Also, Richard Dreyfuss was fabulous last night in part one of the Bernie Madoff miniseries. The tone may be tougher to take for some. Dreyfuss plays it with roguish charm, even whimsy, and the $50 billion Ponzi scheme destroyed lives, families, charities. You'd expect that horror is in the second part tonight. I had forgotten that Bernard L. Madoff was also the chairman of the NASDAQ stock exchange. He is now, if I have this right, inmate number 61727-054. If your DVR missed part one, it's on Hulu if you have a subscription. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.